Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you. Turn on the Light broadcast
with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited about you tuning in tonight. What an awesome day in the Lord. We have constructed or reconstructed our podium at the pulpit at the church, and we are excited about what things are going to look like tomorrow. Oh, my God. We're hoping the glory of God come down like never before in the name of Jesus. We are so excited about what God is doing and light of the world. I know he's doing it all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so we greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank God for light of the world. We're our founder. Our co-founder is Archbishop Drew Smith. We thank God for her life. We bless God for our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin Jones. We thank God for our youth pastor, Elatina Quinn, and our worship pastor, Pastor Sakri Oswald. We thank God for everything that he's doing at Light of the World. Amen. We are on every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock Sunday school and 10 o'clock for worship service on YouTube, on Facebook, and our website, comingtothelight.org. Come and check us out Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and you can catch us through the week. We have different programs that we have. We have the Hartleys doing their program. Awesome couple, amen, our prophet of the house, and they're doing a great job. We have Heavenly Dove catering, and we have some other ones. Come and check us out. Just go. Other workshops coming, and just be have an opportunity to grow and develop and become stronger and wiser in the Lord. And tonight we have somebody who we know is going to bring the word of God tonight. He is ready. He is chopping at the bits. He's ready to go. He's none other than Pastor Clifford Fair. We thank God for his life. We bless God for him. We'll bring him live tonight. He'll introduce himself and give us what God has given him. You're not live on air, Pastor Fair.
Good evening. How are you today?
Fantastic. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. As always, I look so forward to the third Saturday of each month. I'm always excited what God gives me in between the times and between last show and now. God has put all kind of people in my path that really got me to thinking. I spoke with quite a few addicts that needed to change. I spoke with quite a few people that had insecurities in their life that needed to change. And some of those insecurities were so strong that they were literally driving people out of their lives with these insecurities. So they And I got to thinking about change here in Southern Illinois and everywhere around the world because of the COVID thing. And you can't go into a business without the owners or the employees saying things have changed. And that word just kept coming up, that word change just kept coming up to me. And so I got on my face and I asked God what he had for me, and we're going to address change tonight.
Change.
Hopefully shed a light on it that you've never looked at or never seen. Well, you've probably seen it, but hopefully this is something, this is a rhema word for you. I believe it is. And we're going to step right into it. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can look towards you for all things, Father God. It doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how small. You're always there for us. You've always got our best interest at heart. Father, tonight hide me in the shadow of the cross, that people not see me, people not hear me, but they hear your word. They hear what you have for them. Father, to enrich them, to engulf their lives, to take over their lives with the power of your word. Father, that they can be effective servants for you and the things that you have for them and the things that you have planned for them. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
See, God expects us to change. He expects us. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. This is where we're going to start. We're not going to end up there, but we're going to start in Exodus chapter 34. A little history. Any doctor will tell you that a loss consistently with appetite is a major indicator that something deeper is wrong. It is natural to be hungry, to get hungry, and to want to be satisfied with food. That is natural. So when there is a prolonged loss of appetite and no desire to eat, that means something is not functioning properly in our body. It is natural for a Christian to want to know God. It is natural for a Christian to be hungry for God and to allow that hunger to drive them to eat. So when a Christian has lost their appetite and is not pursuing being satisfied with God, it is an indication that something else is wrong. Something is deeper. Something is out of whack because you're not hungry. Now, one reason you may not be hungry is in the physical realm because there may be an illness that has set in and it is taken away or is eating away at the natural inclination for food. Or another reason that you may have lost your appetite is that so much energy has been spent on eating junk food. That the desire for something nutritional and valuable has been lost. Something about junk food that is, usually it tastes good. It's fun to eat. It's quick to get at. You can do it on the run. You can do it on the fly. But what it doesn't do is meet the needs consistently that our body craves for. Our lack of hunger for God is either because we have become spiritually sick inside, and usually that means that sin has begun to dominate some aspect of our lives, eroding the natural hunger for God, or we've become satisfied with junk religion. We've been satisfied with a Christian donut here, a religious Big Mac over there, and to get the real thing, we've lost interest in it. He's talking about entering into a relational intimacy with God. Now, that will involve information. And maybe there's some programmatic something there. But you can have those things and still not know God. You can have a resume and never have an interview. How do you know when you're getting to know God? How do you know when this thing is catching on? How do you know when this thing is clicking? How do you know that you are indeed knowing God or coming into the knowledge of God? The truth that you are getting to know God is that you are changing. There's that word. If I am not changing, I'm not getting to know God. If I am the same, it doesn't matter how much I've shouted, how many services I've gone to, how many programs I've been a part of, how many ministries I serve in, how much money I have given, and don't get me wrong, all of those things have their place. But if I am not changing, I have not gotten to know God. So far be it that the idea of getting to know God is some ethereal, twilight zone, metaphysical aspect of some kind. There is some ground level thing. I'm changing. How do you know a child is growing? They're changing. They start as a baby, they start turning over, they start crawling, they start walking, they start talking. You see, they are experiencing life because they are changing.
Right.
The moment that child stops changing, oh, they need a doctor, something is missing. If that is the proof that I am, that we are getting to know God, then we must conclude that most people that claim to be Christian don't know him. That's pretty deep. Stay with me. They change you. Husbands aren't getting to know God because they aren't changing. Wives are not getting to know God because they are not changing. Children are not getting to know God because they are not changing. But they're still in church. They still got Christianese coming out of their mouth, but they're not changing. Moses is up on the mountain with God in chapter 34. Verse 27, God said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights and did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote the words of the covenant on tablets, the Ten Commandments. And it came about when Moses was coming down the mountain with the two tablets, the word of testimony in Moses' hand. He was coming down the mountain, and he did not know that the skin of his face shone. It was shining because he was speaking with God. Moses, for 40 days and 40 nights, had been in God's presence, and here's what happened. God rubbed off on him. Whew. God rubbed off on Moses. You see, the Bible describes God in one summary word. That word is light. He exists, Scripture says, in unapproachable light. That's why there will be no night in heaven, because Scripture says God will be the light. God exists in light. Moses had gone up in chapter 33. He asked God, show me your glory. Display yourself to me. And as he basked in God's presence, God rubbed off on him. And Moses began to glow like somebody spending time in a nuclear reactor. Moses began to glow.
Yes.
Now let's notice what led to the glow. It said he had been spending time with no food or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. Or to put it in everyday terms, he spent extended, uninterrupted time in God's presence. Woo! He had extended, uninterrupted time in God's presence. Moses was not satisfied with a visitation. He wanted a habitation. Oh, that should be the desire of our heart.
Amen.
Most of us pay God visits. Quick visit to that. We go to him. We give him the pleasantries. We go to him to let him know we remember where he lives. We drop in on God. Moses spent extended, uninterrupted time in God's presence. Notice this. Receiving God's word, the Ten Commandments. So he was in God's presence, receiving God's word, and then it says he was speaking with him. So he's got extended, uninterrupted time in God's presence. He is receiving God's word. He is communicating with God, and God is rubbing off on him. Woo! What's interesting about this is that the other folks saw it before he knew it was happening. Other folks saw it before Moses even knew it was happening, that he was glowing, that he was changing. Verse 30. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh him. 31. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh. He gave them in command of all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Verse 33. Till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. They were afraid. They were saying, whoa, Mo, what's happened to you?
Whoa, Mo.
A child and you say, well, you sure are getting big. That's because you see it before they do. They are just living. But you see them changing. You see, God rubbed off on Moses. God had made this time together, that extended, uninterrupted time in his word and in communication with God, so that now God was rubbing off on him. And Israel noticed that Moses had been with God. Wouldn't you love for people around you to notice that you have been with God, because the change in you was so much, so drastic, so noticeable, so irresistible that they were afraid of you. Whew. That's something powerful right there. We are not changing, and the reason we're not changing is because there is sickness within. Or junk food has taken away the appetite. To put it in everyday language, we are not hungry for God. We are hungry for God's blessing. No, everybody wants to be blessed. We may be hungry for a choir or a sermon or a program. And it says, and God made a covenant with him, an agreement, a partnership. Covenants are relational agreements. God made an agreement, an attachment with Moses, and gave him the Ten Commandments, the rules to live by, and he went and he spoke it to the people with a glow on his face. Have you ever seen a woman that's fallen in love? Something has happened. She has been in the presence of somebody, and it has affected her. What God is after, what God is interested in, now capture this, is transforming us by his presence. He isn't just interested in transforming us. He's interested in transforming us by his presence. See, a sermon can't change you. It can inform you, but a sermon can't change you. Some people are looking for Sunday morning to do something Sunday morning can't do. Sunday morning can't change you. Sunday morning can encourage you. It can inform you. It can inspire you. But once you walk out the door of your church, all hell is waiting for you. All hell is waiting for you. And you can't carry a church service with you unless you are operating in his presence. Otherwise, there is no change. The way you know that you know God is rubbing off on you and he's rubbing off on me, and Moses glowed. God was all over him because he dared to take extended time in God's presence, with God's word, in communication with God, and God had the, get this, the freedom to rub off on him. Woohoo! Does God have the freedom to rub off on you? Does God have the freedom to affect you and infect you with his presence? There are probably enough serious Christians listening today that would really say, I really want that. I want to know him, and I want to know that I know him. And the way that you know him is that you know him that is he is rubbing off on you. His thinking becomes your thinking. His feelings become your feelings. His reactions become your reactions. His attitudes become your attitudes. Because he's rubbing off on you. Some things you used to like and he hates, you're now beginning to hate because you're becoming so like him, he's rubbing off on you. So you're beginning to react to things like he reacts to things because he's rubbing off on you. Woohoo! You're beginning to do what he would do if he were here doing what you're doing, because he's rubbing off on you. He's rubbing off on you. That's what God wants. The question is that what you want? Is that what I want? Is that what we want? We want God rubbing off on us so that we are changing. I told you we were going to look at changing in a whole different light. You say, man, I wish I could have that. Man, I wish I could have what Moses had, where God is rubbing off on me. Well, guess what? I've got some good news for you. Can. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We can have what Moses had. Paul, in the New Testament, is getting ready to reference what we just went over in chapter 34 of Exodus, but he's going to reference it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now follow me here, because I don't want any of us to miss this. Verse 2, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Whew. Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone, we know that. Paul says, what I am writing now is not on tablets of stone, it's on the human heart. Stay with me here. He says in verse 7, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, which is the Ten Commandments, was glorious. Now, you've got to stay with me because we're talking about knowing God. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for his glory countenance. Which glory was to be done away? God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. But guess what? Now, this shocked me. But this is truth. Guess what the Ten Commandments were? According to Paul, what he just said, the ministry of death. When you read the Ten Commandments, they are all written negatively. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. 10 times, thou shalt not. And there was condemnation if you did. So it was a negative statement with a condemnation if it was violated. So here in 2 Corinthians, it calls a ministry of death because they were consequences for not fulfilling what negative command was calling for. As Moses came down the mountain, the glory faded. As long as he was with God, his face was shining. As long as he's in this private, extended, uninterrupted time with God, he is glowing. But the further he left God and the closer he got to people, glory began to fade. It's like being excited on Sunday morning because everybody is on fire. The choir is on fire. The preacher's on fire. The sermon's on fire. The service is on fire. And you feel God all over you.
Yes.
But between the sanctuary and the car, the glory fades. The glory fades. He says the glory began to diminish as he left God. And he went back to deal with people. Stick with me now. Verse 8. Shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? He says, now, back with Moses, it was a ministry of death, but it still had glory. How much more will the ministry of the Spirit be given even with more glory? What we have in the New Testament is more, better, and bigger than Moses ever had in the Old Testament. And Moses' face glowed. Paul is saying, if Moses' face glowed when there was a ministry of death, how much more should our faces glow where there is a ministry of life? Somebody ought to be shouting right about now because we're getting into some good stuff. Stay with me. He says, for the ministry of condemnation, which came with the Ten Commandments, has glory. Much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory, so you and I can get more than Moses had. And Moses had it going on. His face was glowing, for crying out loud. God was rubbing off on Moses. See, Moses has and has method on you. For indeed what has glory, look at verse 10. In this case, for even that which was made glorious had no glory. In this respect, by the reason of the glory that excelleth. So, your faith to shine. My faith is supposed to shine. Or putting it another way, God is supposed to be rubbing off on us more than he rubbed off on Moses. Come on, somebody.
Right.
I hope you're excited with me. Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope. I love that song that you played in the beginning, by the way. We use a great plainness of speech. Verse 13. Oh, this one gives me goosebumps every time I read it. And not. I put that in big bold letters in my notes. And not as Moses. Paul says we're not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. Now, watch this. We started off in Exodus 34, and some people will read that, and they're grooving on it. Say, yeah, look at Moses going on. His face was shining. And Paul said, we're not like Moses, because the people who lived with Moses got to see the fading glory. The people that are with us are supposed to see the increasing glory.
Woo! Amen.
They got to see the glory on decline. And Paul says, we're not like Moses. It was good, but you should get excited just reading Exodus 34. But Paul says, don't get excited until you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. See, this is what gets me. People read the Bible, but they still have a veil over their eyes.
Wow.
We are going to kind of review a little here. How do you know that you're getting to know God? How do you know it's not just a theory? It's not a thesis. It's not simply some foreign concept that I mention or talk about because I'm supposed to. If I am saved, how do I know that I'm getting to know God? Very simply. As you get to know God, you change. If I am not changing, I am not getting to know God. If I am the same, I am not getting to know God. If that is the proof that we need to know that we're getting to know God, again, we must conclude that most people that claim to be Christians don't know him.
That's
they simply aren't changing. Okay, we've all been to a wedding. We've seen the bride come in, glorious as she is. The veil, there's a covering. It's not done as much today as it was in older days, but there's still a covering. You know there is glory, but the glory is somewhat veiled. It's hidden. You can't see how beautiful she really is. You can see the beauty of her dress, the exquisite walk down the aisle, but the face is fuzzy. If it can't be seen because it's veiled, Paul said, Moses had to veil God's glory because it was diminishing. But he says, in Christ, the veil is lifted, and you get to see the glory like you've never dreamt. Oh, that ought to get you excited, because this is a promise that we have more than Moses had ever dreamed of. We have more available to us than we have ever dreamt of. So this raises the question, and the question is this. I know that, and I hope this is your question, how? How do I get to know God so that I know him because he's rubbing off on me? Two verses. They all come down to two verses, verses 17 and 18 here in 2 Corinthians 3. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, victory. Woohoo! Let me break this down.
Hallelujah.
Now, are we okay here? First, three words of verse 18. But we all. Those three words are like my favorite two words, but God. But we all. Now let me pause there. But we all. Whatever I'm getting ready to say next, you are not an exception to. But we all. see back in Moses' days, you didn't read about anybody else's face shining but Moses. You don't read about anybody else going up to the mountain but Moses. You don't read about anybody else having to veil their faces but Moses. It wasn't but we all. It was but Moses. He was the only one. Everyone else God was doing was Mo. Okay? But in the new covenant, because we are not like Moses, Paul says, but we all. In other words, you can get what Moses had. It's not limited to Moses. It's not limited to superhuman beings. It's not limited to the special Christian. It's not limited to certain clientele. It's not limited to certain status symbol. It's not limited to certain economic order. He said, but we all. That means that if you are saved, you are not an exception. You can know God as good or better than the most spiritual person you know. But we all. You can't go around saying, I wish I was like that brother. Brother so-and-so, or I wish I was like this or so-and-so, because they seem so close to all, so close to God. But we all. This is equally available to everybody. He says now. Here it is. But we have all with unveiled faces. But we all, without anything hidden or camouflaged. You see, God spoke to Moses face-to-face. As a man speaking to a friend. In other words, there was no camouflage or covering. There will, now please take this in the spirit intended, there will be thousands of people that come to church in camouflage. See, our suits can camouflage us. Your dresses can camouflage you. Your smile can camouflage you. Your hairdo can camouflage you. Because the impression we give when we come into the church is in large. Hey, I'm okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good, brother? That's camouflage. Because in the real world, I'm in pain in church. I'm miserable today. And me and my family are not getting along. And I'm not going to make it. And if the truth be told, I might just break out crying right now. But I'm in church. And I got to camouflage all of that. While that may be you to relate, it may help you to relate to people, it will not help you relate to God. He says if you want to be changed so that you really know God and that he's rubbing off on you, you must come to him with an unveiled face. No camouflage. You can't come praying like everything is all right when it's not all right. You can't come to God talking like you're okay when me and you both know you're not okay. You can't come to me with praise words and nice sounding serenity when that's not what's really on your heart. You can't come to God with some general statement when you know there are specific issues that we need to deal with. If God is going to rub off on you, you've got to come clean with him. You've got to come with an unveiled face to God. You see, he's not looking for a cute visit from you. He's not asking you to get all dressed up with a suit, a shirt, a tie, fancy dress. But when you have extended private time with him, because he knows that ain't real, that's showing off. That's like going down the red carpet like you're going to some Academy Awards show. He wants you to come with an unveiled face. If you want God to rub off on you, you got to come clean with him. You got to go raw with God. You got to be exposed to God. You got to come to him with an unveiled face. Nothing hidden, no shadows, no camouflages. You can fool the people with that, but I know you've got a veil on. You got to come raw to God. Come to God with unveiled face, he says, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord. He says, you come to me with an unveiled face. Total exposure. And when you come to me, you come to me as a mirror. He refers to the Word of God as a mirror. Now, Moses had the Word of God. You come to me as a mirror, Paul says. The job of a mirror is to expose. Okay? We don't want exposure. But guess what? That's what God wants. Then if we don't want exposure, we don't want the truth. Suppose the mirror lied to you when you first got up in the morning and told you, you look really, really good. Suppose the mirror lied to you, said your hair is all in place. You don't need to touch it. The mirror's lying to you. There's nothing coming out of your eyes or down your lip. You just slept like a queen or a king and woke up like a queen or a king, and you can go outside thinking you are something that you are not. Paul says with an unveiled face. Because you see, when you have a veil on and you go before a mirror, you keep the mirror from telling you the truth. See, if you've got a covering over your face and you're standing in front of a mirror, the mirror can't get through to you because you're hidden. You must come with total exposure, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, seeing who I am in the light of who he is. Uh-oh. Seeing what I want in the light of what he wants. Seeing the direction I'm headed in the light of the direction he's headed. Oh, are you on the same path as God? Is the mirror you're looking into telling you the truth? And when I lift the veil and go raw with God, as before a mirror, letting him show me as he sees me. Sometimes, folks, that hurts when we ask God to let us see ourselves as he sees, because he's going to be the true mirror. He's going to show us the reflection. He's going to show us, but he's also going to show us the blood of his son that covers all of that. So when you ask God to let yourself see yourself as he sees you, be ready. Don't take offense to it, but rather rejoice that God is rubbing off on you, because you're starting to change. He says in verse 18, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. Translation, God's going to rub off on you. Transformed means to change. He says what will happen is God will change you into the image of the Lord. Because you're beholding the Lord in a mirror, when you go to God exposed, completely raw, he is able to tell you who you are based on what he sees, not based on what you see, not based on what your friends see, not based on what everybody else sees. No, based on what he sees. And you receive what he says based on the mirror of his word that shines on you. Once you receive that, you're being transformed into the image, or you are being made like him. Now watch this. From glory to glory. I love that phrase with all of my heart. Moses went from glory to less glory. See, he went to God, back to the people, lost his shine. He says, you and I, Paul says, you and I are not like Moses, because Moses went from glory to less glory. We go from glory to more glory. In other words, if it's an ever incline, it's an ever-increasing glory. God is manifesting himself more. Why? Because we are living in his presence. Why? Because we don't have to go up the mountain. You see, for Moses to get his shine back, for God to rub off on him, he had to go back and climb up that mountain. Go through it again, go down and lose it. Go back up and climb it, go back down and lose it. But that's how many of us are losing our lives. We go to church and get it, leave church and lose it. Go to church and get it, leave church and lose it. Go to church and get it, leave church and lose it. Woo-hoo-hoo! so we are like Moses, but that's the old way. That's the old covenant. That's not how God is doing it now. God is saying you are going from glory to glory, and how you're getting there, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. If you are saved, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in you, guess what? You carry the glory with you. So you see, whenever you get in church, that's just a lodge. You're supposed to carry the glory with you because something has transformed in you. Just like verse 18 says, something has changed in you. You are changing. So if you are saved, you've got the glory inside of you. Moses and them, they didn't have that glory inside of them. Listen, most every woman listening under the sound of my voice right now has a compact inside your purse. Now, no man better have a compact inside his pants pocket, but virtually every woman has a compact inside of her purse. Do you know why a woman carries a compact? So she doesn't lose her glory. So that as she moves throughout the day, if the lipstick gets a little ruffled, she can put back on her glory. If the makeup gets a little raw, she can put back on her glory. If she can go to the bathroom and look at her hair through the compact, looking at another mirror behind her, she carries her glory with her. Why? So that she stays fresh and stays looking good. So she stays glorious. God says in the new covenant, you don't have to take a trip. We don't have to go up the mountain, folks. All we got to do is go from glory to glory and have an increasing glory because we're changing. We're transforming. That's what God wants. All we have to do is carry our glory with us. Just as the Lord, the Spirit, says, we are being transformed. I mentioned earlier some people that I talked to in the last month, addicts. They want to change. When you talk to them, they say they want to change. But you ask them why they're not changing, or they ask you why they're not changing. You ask them, how much time have you spent before God? How much time have you spent naked in front of Him? No veil. How much time have you spent willing to allow God to rub off on you, to change you from the inside? People with insecurities in their life, those insecurities do not come from God at all. All they do is destroy stuff. They destroy relationships. They destroy friendships. They destroy families. They destroy the person that carries them. They want to change, but they're not spending time with God. They're not taking that precious, extended, uninterrupted time with the very one that made Moses' face shine, that would make their face shine, that would change them so awesome and so powerfully that they couldn't even dream it. You see, it doesn't matter what you have facing you, what you have pulling you down. If you've been caught up in adultery, if you've been caught up in infidelity, let God change you. Get so close to God that He rubs off on you. To know the one that lives inside of you. You see, He desires to spend time with you. He desires to cradle you in His arms. He desires to hold you and tell you His thoughts. He desires to hold you and comfort you when you're feeling down. He desires to help you to move forward to bigger and better things. You see, more than anything, God wants to rub off on you. God wants to rub off on me because He wants to know, He wants to see that we're changing. There's nothing greater in this world that with all the changes that are going on right now, because of the pandemic, with all of the changes that are coming on throughout the world, one change that would make a difference in the world is watching and seeing people get so close to God that he's rubbing off on it. Oh, can you imagine when things open back up? Going and sitting down at a restaurant, and just because God has rubbed off on you, somebody sitting next to you gets saved. Because God has so rubbed off on you, you got to glow about it. Oh, God says it can happen. Jehovah Shammah, God is there. When you walk by, people should know, God is there. If the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, Jehovah Shammah is there. God is there. Now, in closing, this is so powerful. There's absolutely so much that goes with this. But when you talk to most people, they'll tell you exactly, I'm trying to change. Try on themselves change. Did you say you've got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired? The reality is you've got to want to know God so much, so bad, that you're going to allow him to be able to rub off on you, to be able to affect you, to be able to completely and totally infect you. So you are contagious with that glow that God would have you for. If they're not willing to spend the time in the presence, when you come across people and they're looking to get saved, make sure you tell them you've got to go God take it with an unveiled face. You can't have that camouflage on, because with that camouflage on, that mirror can't reflect to you who you are and who God wants you to be. Oh, you see, not only does that mirror reflect us and what's behind us, but through God's word, that mirror shows us what's in front of us, from glory to glory to glory. Because of the mirror that the Lord is, you, I, we are changing. So in other words, the Lord is bringing about the change. You are trying to make the change yourself. So the question is, are you hungry for God to change? I re-question that. How hungry are you for God today? We can have a hunger and be satisfied as a frozen chosen sitting in the pew. Or we can choose to let God make us greater than Moses ever was. The glow that Moses had on his face will not diminish with us, because as we go to that incline, that glory gets higher and higher and higher. You see, if you really hunger for God, he's ready for you. He's ready to meet with you anytime, anywhere, any place. He's ready to meet with you right here, right now. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I guarantee you call in, you push one on that phone, and I guarantee you, Pastor Butterfield, they are prayer warriors. They will keep you lifted up before the throne of grace.
Amen.
Pastor Butterfield, I hope that God has changed somebody and is going to change somebody, and I hope that God is going to get through to somebody that needs
amen. 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 Awesome amen. Word. Awesome, amen. Man. I thank God for this word, mm-hmm. because I begin to think about, and I look at scriptures kind of different from people, but when you talk about you need to take the veil off and the presence of God, and we go from glory to glory, and we get so ignited with the presence of God that when, even when Peter, James, and John was on the Mount of Transfiguration, they couldn't look on Jesus then because of the transfiguration, how the anointing of God is so strong, and how during these pandemic times that we saying if we wear the mask, we will protect the other person. And when I begin to think about what we have on the inside, and we want people to get infected with it, it's not the corona, but it's Christ.
Yeah.
That the presence of God in us, if we just take the mask off, somebody would be infected. Somebody would want to know what must I do to be saved? And so
Amen.
Many people have the mask on when no, you've been on the job 10 years and nobody know you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong with that picture. So we need to take the mask off so the presence of God can infect the people that's around us. We need to be, the Holy Ghost is contagious. If we let it do the work, it's contagious. When somebody get in your presence and feel the presence of God, even though they don't even know God, they'll recognize,
yeah.
Hey, something just happened. They may not be able to explain it. They may be able to interpret it, but they know something just happened because the presence of God, like you say, makes a change.
Yeah.
And, we teach in our relationship segment that we do that in order to change, and you have to value the relationship you have with who you have it with. So if you have a relationship with God and you value that, oh, you would want to change because you don't want you don't want to do anything that you feel is not going to please God. You want to try your best on a regular basis just to please God. Now, we see we got many people out there tonight. If you want to make a comment on this word, how God has changed you and how God is changing you, because remember the man of God said we're going from glory to glory to glory. Press 1 on your phone. We'll bring you live tonight for this powerful word of God that I'm telling you we got to change. And you get in the presence of God, you will change. Because the closer you get to God, you realize how far you are from God. And so then when you get that revelation, then you want to know him even more. When you realize who God is and then to spend time with him, you want more and more and more of God. Because my mama used to say it gets sweeter and sweeter as the day go by. honey and the honeycomb. And so every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So we thank God for this. We see they're all out there, so this word has penetrated their heart. And we thank God for everyone. We want to, we have one person in queue, and the area code is 404, and the last four digits is 8761. You're not live on the air, call.
Hey, this is Brother Lorenzo.
Hey, man.
I just wanted to address the speaker for this evening and tell him thank you for the wisdom that was shared with us this evening. And the thing that I've gotten out of this is that the face of God is upon us by spending time with God. And,
Amen.
You know, as we grow older in life, we change, you know,
right.
Starting from a baby to who we are as we become adults and seniors. We realize that we don't stay the same. We don't look the same as we did. But that's
right.
A process that we go through as far as life is concerned. And the thing about it is that when we spend time with God, we begin to look more like him. And that's a blessing because in the times that we're living in now, we need to look more like God with the things that we're confronted with on a daily basis. And people do need to look at us and say, that's something different, special about you as far as that's concerned. Because 1 minute from the next, when you think about COVID, it's all over the world, you know.
That's right.
And people are being changed as a result of COVID. So
absolutely.
we got to show God in this time. And the only way we can do that is that we need to spend time with him so we'll know what to say when we say what we say. So thank you for the word.
Amen. And thank you so much, man. We appreciate your response. And I tell you, an awesome word, man. It's a great thing, and it's going to give me something to chew on for the rest of this week, amen. Lord, we thank God for you, man. Always, we know that when you come on, we know we got a word that we can hold on to and we can stand with. So we give God praise, honor, and glory. We bless God for your life. Mm-hmm. We pray that God continue to bless you and use you for his glory, because that's what we're on earth for, to be used mm-hmm. for the glory of God, and his kingdom mm-hmm. is come. So we have to make sure that whatever is done in heaven is done on earth, and that's why we're here, to make sure the mandate of God is fulfilled in our lives. Mm-hmm. So we give God praise, honor, and glory for everything that we heard tonight. We pray that you are blessed. If you don't know Jesus, we ask you to confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You shall be saved. Amen. And that's all you have to do. Is you don't have to jump through pews and leap over walls. You don't have to do none of that. Just believe God in your heart and confess with your mouth, amen, that he rose Jesus from the dead. And Jesus died for your sin. He paid for it in Jesus' name. Pastor, we want you to close us out in prayer. We'd be good to go.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, what an awesome word that you spoke to me. Father, help us each and every day to seek your face, to spend that quality time with you, to spend that uninterrupted time with you, so we can get so close to you that you rub off on us. Father, give us desire in our hearts to glow. Give us the desire in our hearts to let your light shine through us, as you tell us that we are the light here on this world. So, Father, we thank you for all of the things that you promised to us. We thank you for the instructions in your word and how simple you make them. Father, as we continue on through this pandemic, that you show and you shine your glory, Father God, that we get to show people around us every single day how to go from glory to glory with your power, with your love, with your anointing. Be with us, Lord, as we separate off of this broadcast, and never separate us from your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Good night, everybody, and tell your neighbors and your friends every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen Ann Butterfield.